Okay, so it was 1996, and I was living in the Gertrude Stein house. Now, this is kind of a misnomer, because Gertrude Stein actually only lived there for about a minute. It was her uncle's house, David Bachrach, who was a well-known photographer. And actually, another one of her family members was a sculptor, Ephraim Kaiser, also had a studio there. And this is his house in Reservoir Hill. It's an amazing, beautiful wood mansion. And this is a neighborhood full of big, beautiful homes that used to be outside the city. And people would go there in the summer to get away from the stink and the heat of the downtown. And now this neighborhood's actually become part of downtown. And while it was once mostly Jewish families that were living there, now it's mostly African Americans. And it's mostly apartments. There's still some nice big houses, but a lot of them have been broken into apartments. Some of them have been boarded up. And then I'm living there with my three roommates. We're all young white women in our early 20s. And our landlords are really excited about the history of the house. And they kind of have this mandate for us to turn this home into a cultural center for the community. And now we're mostly AmeriCorps volunteers and artists, so we're like, heck yeah, that's what we're all about. So we just jump on in. It doesn't really matter that we can't pay for our heating bill all the time. You know, we just figure it out. So our first event, we decide to do an avant-garde performance night. And we've got some amazing stuff going on. It's really edgy. And right in the middle of the, like, touch improv dance performance, I look around and I realize that basically the only people there are the performers and us. So we decide next time to make it something a little more mainstream. So our next event's going to be a movie night, because everyone likes movies. And that's actually, you know, we get local filmmakers to come in, and then we get some people from New York to come down and show things. And this is like the stuff that's going to end up on special features on DVDs, you know? It's like really interesting. And while people are all debating, you know, what the significance is of the pineapple and the umbrella, it's kind of obvious that we haven't quite reached out to the community yet. It hasn't quite fit. So we're getting kind of demoralized. We're getting kind of broke. But we decide to look at what might we be doing wrong. So we've got food. We put out hummus and carrot sticks and some beer. And we are promoting it, telling everyone we know. And I put up a big flyer on the front door. And, you know, yes, there's a German shepherd in the front yard and a big rusty fence you have to get past. But it's right there in front of you. And most of the events are happening late at night because that's kind of our schedule. And while the corner of Linden and Whitelock is rather dark and forbidding, it's, you know, it's glowing from the inside. The house is full of warmth and love. So, you know, you'd think someone might get curious. Well, no matter. We're going to try one more time. That's all we think we have left in us. But coming up is this great moment of inspiration because we have Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Yule. It's the quadfecta of holidays. And we are going to have a multicultural holiday festival. And we pull out all the stops. We decide the first floor is going to be a religion per room. And so the first room, we've got a gospel choir and a Christmas tree. And then the next room, we've got a menorah, and we've got gelt and a dreidel. And then in the next room, we've got a Yule log for, like, the winter solstice ceremony, and a thing where you can write stuff down that you want to get rid of and burn it. And then, here's the big finish. We are going to have an African drum group come, and they're going to teach us the principles of Kwanzaa. And so, the day of the event comes, midday, and we're crossing our fingers that people are going to show up. And people start coming in the door. And the first people are some of our neighbors, because now we've met some people in the neighborhood. They're coming in. And some kids from the neighborhood who heard about the event. And then the choir invited some of their friends. And our friends from the other events are coming. And now, you know, there are people singing carols and spinning the dreidel and burning things, and they're all engaging together, and it's this amazing thing. We've created a multicultural holiday festival, and we're just kind of proud. We pulled it off. And so we're going to gather. We all get together in the salon, you know, to see the final, the big finish, the drum performance. And so, you know, they're drumming these African drums and teaching the principles of Kwanzaa, and the leader of the group is this really imposing man with a big gray beard and a really stern face. And he's drumming, and then he stops. And we all wait to hear what he's going to say. And he looks around the room, and he says, "Well, all of you are having a party, There are young boys on the street being killed. And that really hurt. And that was really bad timing. But honestly, he was right on. We'd spent months trying to get people to come into our house. And not any effort going out into the neighborhood and realizing what was going on for people around us, knowing what was happening in our community. And that really was the end of our cultural center in the neighborhood. And we didn't suddenly become rock stars of organizing or anything overnight, but we definitely were beginning to understand what it means to be part of a community. Thank you.